Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Interior Gas Utility Board meets tonight to consider construction of a $47 million LNG storage tank in Fairbanks, a key component to increasing local availability of the fuel. IGU Board Chair Mike Meeks says approval will allow work to start immediately on the 5 million gallon storage facility.
As soon as we get the yes vote, if that's the way the board goes, they're going to launch this contract, and they're going to start doing some site work this winter.
The vote comes a week after the IGU board approved purchase of Fairbanks Natural Gas parent company Pentex, triggering the advance of the state-financed Interior Energy Project to truck larger volumes of Cook Inlet gas to Fairbanks.
This has been in the queue for a long time, and everything has been bottled up waiting for a decision. Now that there's a decision, it's time to execute.
If okayed tonight, the storage tank will be constructed adjacent to existing Fairbanks Natural Gas storage facilities in South Fairbanks. University of Alaska President Jim Johnson is concerned about higher education deductions and credits targeted for elimination in the House version of a federal tax reform bill. In a letter to UA colleagues Monday, Johnson advocates for retention of the student loan interest deduction, employer, university employee, and graduate student tuition assistance, and a lifetime learning credit for education expenses. UA spokeswoman Robbie Graham says the message is that education is a powerful tool.
We have to do everything we can to incentivize our students and not put up barriers to degree attainment. Any provision that would make it more costly for students will harm families, will harm our workforce, and ultimately our economy.
In the letter, President Johnson notes increasing college costs and rising levels of student loan debt. He says he recently wrote Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski about his concerns. Murkowski is part of a conference committee assigned to hash out differences between the House and Senate versions of the tax bill. Golden Valley Electric Association crews are still working to repair damage to power lines caused by Chinook winds that have blasted the interior over the last few days, especially around Delta Junction. On Monday, gusts up to 80 miles an hour knocked over a 48-ton railroad car in Delta. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Cliff Mason says he was just making his way back Monday morning to the hotel he works at in Delta when he saw the old 100-foot Alaska Railroad passenger car flop onto its side.
I was coming back, and I'm pulling in. I look over to my left, and I see something moving. I'm like, what the heck? And I look over, and I just happen to see it falling right over on the edge.
Yvonne Echohawk is co-owner of Kelly's Alaska Country Inn, and she says she parked the old double-decker rail car next door to the hotel several years ago, where it had sat undisturbed until Monday.
And they were huge gusting winds. There's trees down all over the place.
Echohawk bought the rail car from the Alaska Railroad after it was put out of service in 2001. She says she'd planned to convert it into a coffee shop, and despite the mishap, she still does.
Oh, we're going to pick it back up, get it real stable, and set it down on its permanent resting place.
National Weather Service climate specialist Rick Toman confirms it was indeed a blustery day in Delta.
Many reports from Delta south along the Delta River there, 70 to 80 mile an hour wind gusts, a very strong Chinook.
Meanwhile, crews with Golden Valley Electric Association are still working around Delta to restore electricity in areas where it had been knocked out by trees blown over onto power lines.
We had a crew working in Delta throughout the weekend, and again today we have a Fairbanks crew helping our line person down there.
Golden Valley spokeswoman Corrine Bradish says crews also were repairing lines around Healy over the weekend. She says they'll stay around the Delta area as long as necessary.
We'll just continue doing this to get power restored until these winds die down.
Toman says the crews may get a breather for a day or two, but he says another Chinook is on the way.
We are not done with this. We are stuck in this very mild southerly flow aloft pattern, and it looks likely we'll have another round of strong Chinook winds through the Alaska Range passes coming up later this week.
Toman says the weather system raised temperatures in Delta into the 40s on Monday. He says the mercury climbed to 45 in Anchorage, 59 in Ketchikan, and 62 in Metlakatla. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Travelers departing Fairbanks International Airport continue to be advised to arrive for flights extra early as one of two security screening machines remains down. Airport spokeswoman Angie Spears says the Transportation Security Administration began having problems with the passenger and carry-on screening machine Friday.
And the machine started going out intermittently before it finally went out completely, and it has meant longer wait times at the passenger screening checkpoint.
It's unclear when operations will return to normal, as Spear says repair of the down unit is on hold.
There is a missing part that has been ordered, and currently there is no ETA for the broken part that has been ordered by TSA.
Spear says passengers should show up for flights 2 hours prior to departure to accommodate the slower line at security. She additionally advises packing as much as possible in checked luggage to reduce the number of carry-on bags TSA has to screen. The Iditarod Trail Committee is taking steps to tighten security along the race route. KNOM reports that Iditarod spokesman Chaz St. George says the board and staff are considering adding security cameras at the Nome Dog Lot and race checkpoints at White Mountain and Unalakleet.
Based on last year's experience, these two checkpoints are extremely active. There's a lot of folks that come in and out of Unalakleet, especially during this race.
St. George says other strategies are in the works as well.
This is just the beginning. We're not talking about this is what we're going to do and that's it. We're looking at a number of different protocols that we can deploy in the future. This year, for instance, you will see more visibly individuals who are boots on the ground that will be monitoring our dog lot.
The discussion comes after the ITC's announcement in October that four dogs in four-time champion Dallas Seavey's team tested positive for the prohibited painkiller tramadol at the end of the 2017 race. It was the first time a positive drug test had returned in Iditarod history. The ITC changed the race drug use policy following the positive test, shifting the burden of proof to the musher. In the wake of the announcement, the Iditarod Official Finishers Club issued a statement calling for rule changes, including withholding prize money for a positive test. St. George says the board discussed drug policy at a December 1st meeting but took no action. I'm Dan Bross.